In the email that I sent to the congregation on Thursday, I lifted up the idea of Reunion Sunday. Years ago, a beloved congregant, Carol Boley, suggested this play on words for the Sunday after Labor Day. It's the day when much of our church programming resumes after our summer break. But even more importantly, because of that resumption of programming, more and more of the church family are back together. Not only do we get to reconnect with friends whose paths we may have not have crossed recently, we also recommit ourselves to being union. We recommit ourselves to the bond of union. We recommit ourselves to striving to do the will of God and to make the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives, both individually and as a community. Part of how we do that is through the commissioning of faith formation leaders and aides, youth group advisors, cooks, adult education leaders, the people who have agreed to pass on the faith. But Reunion Sunday is for all of us, for all of Union, those of us who were sitting in the pews when we just had that commissioning as well. Yes, being part of our faith formation ministries does demonstrate your commitment to growing this Christ Spirit, but there's so much more. It's wonderfully fitting that on the day that our church recommits to doing the will of God and making the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives, that the lectionary, that recommended cycle of scripture readings for worship, leads us to that passage about the potter, which I just read from the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 18, verse 4, we hear, "The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him." Oh, what richness, right? To imagine ourselves being shaped by the divine hand, to embrace the humility of having been spoiled and needing to be reworked. So often I lament the things that shape us that aren't the potter's hand. Greed and the desire to get ahead even at the expense of others and the environment. Individualism and the fallacy that life can be morally honorable when looking out only for number one. Violence and the willingness to harm another. Greed, individualism, violence. These are really the core non-godly things that shape us. The World Health Organization includes in its definition of violence the intentional use of physical force or power that has a high likelihood of resulting in maldevelopment. A high likelihood of resulting in maldevelopment. Violence, greed, individualism indeed warp us, misshape us, pull us out of alignment. I think of simple images here, the plastic lid that warps in the dishwasher and then doesn't fit on the bowl right. Your shoes after you have worn them all summer and they've gotten worn down in such ways that only you could possibly wear them. So too happens with our spiritual and moral lives when we allow the values of secular society to shape us rather than the gospel values of Jesus. For where society values individualism and violence and greed, the ways of God are mercy and community and compassion. Today, Reunion Sunday, we recommit ourselves to being shaped by the potter's hand, by mercy and community and compassion. Today, in Reunion Sunday, we recommit ourselves to being shaped by God and the potter's hand, rather than that which malforms us. In 2014, neuropsychologist Rick Hansen wrote a book called Buddha's Brain. The central premise is that great teachers like Buddha, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, and Gandhi were all born with brains built essentially like anyone else's. And then they changed their brains in ways that changed the world. Science is now revealing how the flow of thoughts actually sculpts our brains. And more we're learning that it's possible to strengthen those positive brain states. In essence, Hansen uses science to explore the commonalities of some of the greatest, most revolutionary ethical and moral teachers in human history, and then encourages people to mold their brains in similar ways. As we come together today to recommit ourselves to making the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives, as we yearn to be shaped by the divine potter rather than malformed by the values and forces which are not of God, Hansen suggests an exercise that could be wonderfully transformative. It's an exercise to build compassion. And of course, we know that it is in being an agent of compassion that we will be shaped by compassion. The exercise is to envision being compassionate to five different people. And I'd actually like to give it a mini trial if we could. So go ahead and sit a little more comfortably than you are right now. Get yourself settled nicely. You may choose to close your eyes if you like. The first person we are to envision compassion toward is a benefactor, someone who has given to you significantly over time, maybe a mentor or a teacher or someone who has given to you in some way. Envision someone who has been a benefactor to you, and then envision yourself doing an act of compassion toward them. Picture yourself giving them a blessing in return. The next person to envision is a friend. Choose one friend, and again, envision yourself doing an act of compassion toward them. Picture yourself doing some sort of act of kindness, care, concern, kind-heartedness toward your friend. After our friend, the next person to visualize is someone who we are neutral about. This may be a neighbor you don't know well, or the clerk at the grocery store, or your brother-in-law. Again, picture yourself actively being compassionate toward this neutral person. Envision yourself offering them feeling and consideration and benevolence. The fourth person to visualize is someone you find difficult. This could be an individual or a group of people, a coworker, a family member, people who voted differently than you did. Here's where it gets tough. And this is why we need to do the practice of the other three first. Envision yourself doing an act of compassion for the difficult person you just brought to mind. Take time to wrap them in the warmth and sensitivity and soft-heartedness of compassion with which you just wrapped the others. Envision an act of compassion that you can offer that difficult person. As if it couldn't get any harder, the last person to envision is yourself. Picture yourself. The ways that you have been misshapen, your cracks and flaws, and envision yourself doing an act of compassion toward yourself. Envision a kind, merciful, tender-hearted act of compassion toward your brokenness. Go ahead and open your eyes if you had closed them. It's quite powerful, isn't it? To spend time being shaped by compassion. Again, those people for whom we just visualized compassion were a benefactor, a friend, someone neutral, someone difficult, and ourselves. Benefactor, friend, neutral, difficult, self. Can you imagine the difference in our lives, in our community, in our world, if each of us spent 10 minutes a day, in fact, even 5 minutes a day, 1 minute on each of those people doing that exercise? Can you imagine what the divine potter could do with you and through us? If for just 10 minutes a day you practiced being shaped by Christ's compassion. Friends, it's truly a joy to be reunited together today as a community of God's transforming love. My prayer this week is that we will all have the grace to allow the Christ Spirit to mold and shape us into the people that God created us to be. Alleluia and amen.